Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. The more Pastor Mark kept saying, I messed up, I messed up, I messed up, the more conscious I got because I messed up big time and poured some water in my pants a few minutes before I get up here to preach. And how many of you know that's the one most embarrassing thing a preacher could ever do? I do want to assure you that I did not pee on my pants, just for those of you who are wondering. If you've been tracking with us over the course of the last 2 years, we have been on the book of Genesis. And if you're here and you were part of that, would you shake the person's hand beside you and congratulate them and say, you have now read 17 chapters of the book of Genesis. And for those of you who don't read your Bible very conscientiously, at least if you've been coming to church, you have actually read 17 chapters of the Bible finally. Okay? Today we continue with the book of Genesis. We ended last week in Genesis 17. And we saw the life of Abraham. Abraham had chilled out, relaxed, and God appeared to him and visited him and knocked him off his hammock and said, let's go back on track here, guy. And God appeared to him as Almighty God and told him, you've got a destiny, you've got a purpose. I'm changing your name from Abraham to Abraham. And he's called out again and he's once again back on track with God. We saw that in that junction, God calls out Sarai and Sarah, and that whole family is being reestablished. And now we pick up in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, where it says, and the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. This is another verse that says the Lord appeared. Now in Genesis 17, we saw that the Lord appeared to Abraham. Was clearly appearing to him as the Almighty God. This time he appears to him in a very different form. Now you'll notice when you read the Bible that the word Lord has two ways of being spelled, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. That's the word Lord or Jehovah. And here it uses that word, the Lord appeared to him at the door of his tent, and he was sitting there. Now he lifted up his eyes and looked and behold, three men were standing in front of him. Now notice, the Lord appeared to him previously as Lord God Almighty as a single entity. Now all of a sudden, God appears to him in the shape of three people, three men. Later on, as we study in weeks to come, we will realize that two of these men were actually angels, and there was only one person who was a theophany. Theophany is what theologians call the physical representation of God on earth. And that's not for us to discuss today, but for us to keep in mind. And so this was a different kind of apparition, if you may. It was the first time that Abraham was going to encounter God in a physical flesh. And it says that he ran from the tent door. He saw this people. How many of you have seen people that you walk in a mall, you walk in an office, you walk on campus in school, and you see certain people that really doesn't matter, but there's some people that when you see them, obviously there's something about the way they carry themselves. There's something about the way they look. There's something about a kind of an aura that draws you to them, and you want to inquire. And this is what happened to Abraham. These are just ordinary humans, and yet he's attracted to them, so much so that he runs. He goes after them and he wants to see who they are. He ran from the tent of the door to them and he bowed down to them. Now, this act of bowing down to people in those days was actually tradition. It was customary for people to honor people who were visiting their towns or neighborhoods. And this is not because he thought they were gods, but he actually noticed something different about them. We'll see that in weeks to come. But for now, trust me when I say that that was what was happening. Now notice it says, and he said, O Lord. This time it's not capital O, capital R, and capital D, but capital L, smaller O, smaller R, smaller D. In other words, the different Lord. The word here is the word Adonai, basically master, someone who has a higher degree of importance over me. And he's acknowledging, O Lord. If I've had found favor in your sight, if you've seen anything that is worthy of me, do not pass by your servant. You're passing through, and I notice there's something important about you. Please don't leave here. Stay with me. He's seeing an opportunity. You notice certain things, that there are certain opportunities in life that pass us by, and if we're not looking well, we miss these opportunities. Abraham sees an opportunity to encounter whatever this thing was that he saw, sensing that there was something about it that was of God. Now let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Basically, he's inviting them to be served. He said, let me serve you for whatever reason. Let me be a blessing to you while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and that after you may pass on since you have come to your servant. And so they did. They said, do as you have said. Now notice he says, so that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on and do whatever mission you have. But for now, there is a reason why you guys have encountered me. I see an opportunity. I want to talk to you this morning about missed opportunities. Opportunities that we are presented with that we miss. How many of you know that on 11/11, the greatest giant sale ever happened? How many of you bought things at 50% off? How many of you missed the sale? Now, you may have had friends that said, hey, I bought a stroller for half the price. I bought nappies for one-fourth the price. You got all these opportunities and you feel like you're sulking because you missed it. That's all right if you miss a sale. That's not so bad. It's a missed opportunity, but not so bad. Now, if you had missed investing in Apple 10 years ago, that's a missed opportunity. Are you following me? 10 years ago, the value of Apple stock was $1,000. And I thought that was too high and didn't buy any stock. And today it's $7,000. Missed opportunities. Not so bad, not so good. It's okay. I can still live on. But how about missed opportunities of relationships? Person that got away because you didn't see the opportunity presented before your eyes. There's a very interesting quote from this woman. This woman is the president of Pepsi. The first lady president of Pepsi, responsible for billions of dollars. Over the span of her reign in Pepsi, Indira Nooyi was responsible for growing the company at levels that the company's never reached. She just retired in October of this year. A LinkedIn panel saw her in quotes that says, I've been blessed with an amazing career. But I'm being honest, there have been moments I wish I'd spent more time with my children and family. Missed opportunities. 80, 60, 70, 80 million dollars in salary every year. But that child's never going to be a baby again. And that child will never be riding a scooter again. And that whatever thing you do right now will not turn the clock back. Missed opportunity. Further, she says, her daughter wrote her mother a letter when she was just 4 or 5 years old. The letter said, Dear Mom, please, 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 please. When your daughter is trying to tell you that, she's begging you, amen? Please come home. I love you. But I'd love you more if you came home. Indra kept this, apparently, to remind herself what she lost. She said this in a panel at LinkedIn in 2016. Missed opportunities. A sale, bad to miss one. Stock and investment, bad to miss one. Relationships, bad to miss one. Horrible to miss the opportunities that God has for you. Bad news. The topic we're talking about this morning is how do you make sure you don't miss those? The text in Genesis 18 verse 1 says, while he was sitting there, he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And he was sitting outside. How many of you know, well, you're never going to get caught sitting outside of this air-conditioned room in the hottest day of Singapore? But he was. Because Abraham was not looking in, he was looking out. Many times the reason why we miss the opportunities of God is because we're not looking out. We're always looking in. What are the telltale signs that you're looking in and you're not looking out? One of the ways to tell that you're not looking out and you're looking in is when you have interruptions. When you're interrupted because you've got set schedules, set goals, set plans, set itineraries, and you miss out on God's opportunities because you had planned this thing. This week's what's going to happen. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. And then you're wondering why you're missing it. You might recall a story I told a few weeks ago of an encounter that I had when I was at the Manila International Airport. I was going down the elevator, and this gentleman, his name's Pardeep, approached me and said, I'm recounting the story to you. And he said, Pastor, you don't know me, but I am a member of your congregation in Manila. I said, good to meet you, Pardeep. And I was interrupted because I was flying out on a Saturday, landing Saturday evening, and my mind was consumed with thinking about what I was going to preach on Sunday morning. It was an interruption. And as I was walking with him, I engaged him, and we saw this man. We were walking together. We saw this man fall. And he fell on his head and bashed his head, and there was blood everywhere. And I started running to help him up. And I met his wife, and as a result of that, we called the health officials and fixed this man up. But throughout the afternoon, I started talking to him while we were actually flying together to Singapore in the same flight. And the following day, I preached here, and in the afternoon, I met up with him and realized that it was an opportunity that God had presented to me. I met Pardeep because he's been living here. He lived here for over 20 years. Gave me so much insight about this nation. So many thoughts, so many ideas. And then I found out that he was a CEO of a company in Manila. And he said, the next time you're in Manila, let's have dinner together. I have some things I want to show you. Interruptions, very often, by the way, is the common thing that God does. That's what he did to Moses. He interrupted his life. That's what he did to Noah. That's what he did to Joshua. That's what he did to Paul. He always interrupts you. And if you hate that, you probably are going to miss a lot of the opportunities. While I was in Manila 2 weeks ago, I had this woman come up to us and interrupted our meeting. I was meeting with these two young pastors trying to disciple them in how to preach. You can see the notes at the back. I'm teaching them how to study text, how to form a message. And this woman walks in and interrupts, and she starts telling us, and it was an interruption, but it was a divine moment that allowed the interruption because she was actually telling us that she was thanking us that there were about 100 teachers on third year and fourth year high school students in our church that are learning how to teach the Bible whilst they are teaching their third year and fourth year students. How many of you know that's crazy? I wouldn't have known had I not been willing to be interrupted. Interruptions are good. But when interruptions become not just interruptions, but become inconvenient, that's a different story. And when you look at Abraham's story, you look at Noah's story, you look at Paul's story, it's always inconvenient and it's always an interruption. How many of you still want God's opportunities? And how many of you are now beginning to wonder how many opportunities you may have missed because you refuse to be inconvenienced and you refuse to be interrupted? And you had your own set goals and set plans. Usually what we say, and I've been saying this for most of my life, I don't have time. Until I finally got older and realized that we all have time for what we want to make time for. That's the bottom line. If you don't have time for something, it's not because you don't have time, it's because you want to use your time for something else. So stop saying that. We all have time. And by the way, if it's God's will to interrupt you and inconvenience you because he wants to give you an opportunity, that simply means there is time because he is the author and maker of time. It's you that refuses to be interrupted and inconvenienced, which is why you miss out on the opportunity. Sunday's too busy. It's raining today. I can't go to church now. Yeah, right. You just missed the opportunity to hear this message. Hello? I love you. Amen? I learned this the hard way, and I learned it through a good tutor. I actually learned it from my wife. My wife showed me how many opportunities God gives her because she's learned to be interrupted and inconvenienced. This is a recent picture from our family group of my wife, and I was reading this thing, and she's spending time with our daughter-in-law and her son. And I was looking at that and I thought, wait a minute, you've got one more day to go. You're too busy. You got to fix our insurance. You got so many things you got to learn. What are you doing with our daughter-in-law? Because she was willing to be interrupted and inconvenienced and hear. And I can't count how many times my wife has had divine moments of influence in people's lives because she was willing to be interrupted. She was willing to set aside her busy schedule. Some of you are so good at scheduling, at so good at what you're doing, you think you're doing great. You're probably missing lots and lots of opportunities from God because you're no longer willing to be interrupted. Worst of all, you're not just willing to be interrupted, you're no longer willing to see what God can do with the interruption. The little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish was interrupted and inconvenienced. You're not having lunch today, little boy. But giving it to God, multiply that, and blessed thousands. That moment of interruption and inconvenience in your life and in my life is always a blessing that God wants to use if we would learn to find opportunities. And that's not going to happen when we're looking in. That's going to happen when we're looking out. Nobody wants to say amen to that. Okay, that's fine. We'll keep doing this every week, okay, until you get it. This is the Word of God. This is how this works. It's not a Bible study. It's not information. It's life. And you can miss an investment. The one thing you don't want to miss is when you get to heaven and God starts showing you all the opportunities that you missed because you weren't willing to be inconvenienced and interrupted. Finally, it's the unexpected. On November 3, 2013, the unexpected happened. Huge inconvenience, huge interruption, the world's strongest storm ever. It's called Haiyan, super typhoon, started out at 175 kilometers per hour, and by the time it got to its top speed, it was 230 kilometers per hour. It's like a F1 car racing and about to hit land. In fact, it goes down in history today as the worst storm ever. And it hit this island, this city in the Philippines called Tacloban. Wiped out everything. At first, they thought there were a few hundreds that were dead. By the time it was all said and done, there were about 6,000 people dead. There was nothing left in the city. There was no water. There was no food. There was no airport. There was no in and out of the city. There was nothing. The mayor, his name is Alfred Romualdez, found himself finally on satellite being interviewed by no less than Anderson Cooper because this was history. It's terrible. They didn't have the policemen who were supposed to rescue people are all dead. They're all drowned because the precincts where they were in were all drowned out. And Alfred was inconvenienced, interrupted by something totally unexpected. I know the story very well because I was there in January of 2014. Because that's the only time they allowed people to come. Alfred was once upon a time a member of my church in Manila, and I discipled him before he became mayor of Tacloban. And he was recounting to me how he was stuck in a roof, shaking, and all he could do was remember Psalm 91, because he knew he was about to die himself. What Alfred didn't know was he was being presented a ridiculously huge opportunity by God. People now wanted to know about God. People wanted to listen. He was able to design a way to restore the city in very quick times. And as a result of that, Alfred started traveling the world. He's now invited to the UN and Washington, D.C. to speak about climate change, restoration. Many times, when you start thinking about the things of God, instead of belly aching and complaining and arguing with God, watch the inconveniences and the interruptions and the unexpected as actually opportunities that might open you to something God wants to do in your life. Genesis 18, verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld the three men were standing in front of him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself. There, notice where it says, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And earlier I told you about the three men who were standing there. And I told you about the fact that he met them at the door and bowed himself to the earth. Now, I want to draw your attention to the words, he lifted up his eyes and looked. It's one thing to look out and not look in. But there's a secondary thing you need to do in order to see the opportunities that God has for you. Not just look out, but to look up. The Bible says he looked up to see the thing that God had for him. Looking up means not looking down. Hello, that's logic, amen? If you're looking up, you're not looking down. And very often, as people of God or individuals, we tend to look down and not look up. It's one thing to look up in pride and arrogance and to think that you're special and good. Well, that's true in a certain sense, but it's also just as wrong to keep looking down. God wants us to look out and to look up and to know that God has motivated us, empowered us, called us to do some things that are rather special. My wife knows this. I don't promote my books in church. I don't think that's the way to do it. But I wrote a book in 2012, and since it's 2012, it's 6 years ago. I'm not promoting it. I'm just telling you the story. I wrote a book called The Lego Principle. I wrote it because I wanted to show the world what discipleship looked like in terms of relationships. So I wanted the book to be published in America. So I was waiting and praying and believing God that one day this book was going to be published in the United States. And finally, I was in Korea in a conference, and the CEO of a rather large Christian publishing house was in the conference. So I prayed and said, Lord, if be your will that I will have coffee with this man, then set it up. And lo and behold, I found myself having coffee with the CEO of this company. And I sat down with him and I said, I wrote a book and I was thinking of having this book published in America. And he said, where are you from? I said, I'm from the Philippines. And he looked at me and said, forget it. Not even 2 minutes. It's like one second. I said, Americans don't buy books. They buy authors. You publish your book in the Philippines. That's it. And I said, huh? It was almost like it was so dismissive. My hopes were over. People will look down at you. Don't you dare look down at yourself. I was getting up, and he asked me, what's the title of your book? I said, The Lego Principle. He cocked his head, and he said, what's it about? I said, it's like Legos. Different shapes, different sizes, different colors, come from different boxes, made in different years, but all designed to do one thing, connect to the top and connect to the bottom. And because they can do that, they can create any shape they want. Christians, different shapes, different sizes, different colors, different denominations and boxes, different ages, designed to connect to the top with God and connect to one another. Because they can do that, they can change the world. He looked at me and said, sit down. Do you know why I was ready to say that to him? Because I was looking out and I was looking up. If I had been looking down, I wouldn't be prepared. And then he asked me, what do you want to do with it? I want to teach people that discipleship is about relationships. It's about loving people and loving God. It's about connecting to people. After that meeting, I shook this man's hand and he said, send me your manuscript. And 2 weeks later, I got a contract. I sent it to a friend in the United States. And I said, what's this contract all about? And he said, you're being treated by this publishing house as a Class A author. I don't know how you did it, but you did. And let me tell you something. You have opportunities. Maybe it's not writing a book. Maybe it's touching people. Maybe it's blessing a relative. Maybe it's breaking through to an idea. It's not going to happen if you keep looking in and if you keep looking down. It's going to happen when you start looking out and you start looking up to God and seeing that God has things for you. And don't you dare say that you're old, because I'm 61, amen? It's never too late for anybody. Don't look down because you're young, amen? Some of you young people here, don't ever say I'm too young. And some of you old people here, don't say I've got arthritis already. Look up. Are you here? Number two, not just not look down. He says, don't look back. Too many of us keep looking back at the failures, looking back at the reason why it didn't happen. You know, when you do that, you're effectively insulting Christ. Because what you're saying is, what could have been won't ever be. What you're saying is, what Jesus did for you in the cross is too late. What you're saying is, what should have been will never be. What you're saying is, what would have been is never going to happen. You're basically saying what Abraham was saying and Sarah was saying, it's too late, it's not going to happen anymore. That's not how this works. It's us looking out for opportunities that God can give to us, which most likely will be something that's interrupting, inconvenient, something that is unexpected. Because you know why? Because that's how you know it was God. That it wasn't about you. But it is about looking back that causes us to fail rather than looking up and saying, Christ has saved me. I have a destiny in him. He's got great things and great opportunities in store for me. And if not for me, for my children, if not for them, for my grandchildren or my great-great-grandchildren. But there will be opportunities in God. My last point is not just look out and look up, but stop looking around. Too many of you are spending too much time on this. You keep looking at everybody's ramen soup, their vacation, and it makes you depressed. Why am I not here? Why don't I have kids as beautiful as theirs? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Why don't I even have a boyfriend? It depresses you. Let me tell you something, okay? I have nothing against social media. I am on social media. I'm actually on all platforms. I'm on Facebook. I have two accounts on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I keep telling my pastor friends, if you preach on Sundays, why don't you preach every day? When social media allows you that. But let me tell you something. My phone tells me every week that I spend less than 2 hours online. Because I don't look around. I use social media to influence people for Jesus. Some of you are too busy watching too many videos that don't matter in all of eternity. And you say, I don't have time. Yeah, you don't have time. You don't have time because you're watching too many things you shouldn't be watching when you should be praying. When you should be looking out. Amen? And you should be looking up. Let me close. How do you know that you're doing just that? Abraham, sensing the opportunity, went quickly. How do you know when there's something about you that's looking out and looking up? You're not this guy that's, okay, we gotta go to church now. I gotta serve. No, you move quickly. There's something about people of God who've got energy, who still got something to do. There's still something happening in life. Some of you, you're 25 years old and you look like you're dying. You know why? You keep looking in. Look out. You keep looking down. Look up. You keep looking around. Look up to Jesus. Look up to the Word. Stop looking back at the past. He says, quick. Let's do this quickly. Something's happening. There's an opportunity in the making here, and we're about to see that opportunity in about 2 weeks. He would have missed that because he was too busy. I can't be interrupted. I'm already chilling. I'm a millionaire. I've got boys. You guys go look out. No. This guy was a multimillionaire who said, I'm going to stay out in the sun because I just might stumble into an opportunity that God has for me. Some of you are so locked up into your senses that this is the only way it's going to be, and that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. Notice it says, and Abraham ran. There's an opportunity in the making here. This is how you know this is real. I'm giving it my best. Not just that, he just took the herd and took the calf and he took the best, the most excellent of what he had. No, I'm not giving two bags for serve our city. That's not my best. That's not my best. I want my best. Amen? It's an opportunity that God's presented me. And he gave it to the young man and said, do it quickly. And the last thing he did was not just that. He took the curds and the milk and the calf they had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them, didn't sit down, under the tree while they ate. He served. He knew it wasn't about him. It was about the opportunity that God presented to him. He looked up. He looked out. And he decided to give it his best. That's how you find the opportunities of God. You'd be shocked at the number of opportunities that God has for you that is just waiting to happen. If you'd be willing to change just the way you do life. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Just be still before him right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just be still. Don't be in a hurry. Don't even think of these notes. The Holy Spirit's able to talk to you. Some of you here, the issue is you keep looking in. And God's saying there are interruptions, divine interruptions I've set before you in times past. Divine inconveniences, unexpected moments. It's time for you to just repent and say, God, I open my heart to you this morning. There's some of you, it's about looking down. You just don't see it. Stop that. The Holy Spirit wants to heal you. There's some of you, it's not looking down, it's looking back, looking at the past failures, past things that didn't happen. And the Holy Spirit just wants to let you know that don't look back. I've got great things for you. And there's some of you, it's looking around. Stop getting distracted. Like Abraham, he got back on track. And fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Would you just lift up your hands as we worship the Lord? I just want us to sing that song we sang earlier. To know that God is for us and he's not against us. That he has great plans for us. Lord, make us a people who will see divine opportunities from you. Make us a people, Lord, who look out. Who are willing to be inconvenienced, interrupted, and even to receive the unexpected. Father, make us a people, Lord, who do not look down. Do not look around and do not look back. A Father, that we may look to Jesus, look up to the cross, that we have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Literally, Lord, to do exciting, good works, masterpieces that you have created in advance for us to do. Seal this truth in each of our hearts, that even as we walk out here, Lord, there will be a new step. A new confidence, a quiet confidence of knowing who we are in you. May we not strive to produce it. May we be sensitive to the opportunities you present to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.